In November of 2023, the Swell Pod took a 10-day journey across 5 states, traveling 3,580 miles with one challenge in mind.
And that challenge was to interview 100 pleasantly rebellious humans to uncover deep truths about what it takes to create something that has never existed before, challenge the status quo, maybe even change the world.
This is the Kiln Road Trip, created and produced by The Swell Pod.
In partnership with Kiln, Moterra Camper Vans, and sponsored by Taurus.
I'm Spencer McEwen.
And I'm Josh Taylor, and together we're the co-hosts of The Swell Pod and your guides on the Kiln Road Trip. Follow along on the journey.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, follow The Swell Pod on social media, and subscribe to your YouTube channel at, you guessed it, The Swell Pod.
This is interview 40 of the Kiln Road Trip, and today we're at Kiln Provo talking with John Cho. John was raised blue-collar in the Deep South, first in his family to graduate college, and then got into Oxford where he learned about startup culture and process. He moved to Silicon Valley where he tutored kids to make ends meet until he launched his first successful startup. He built and sold another startup in 9 months during the pandemic, and since then, he's been advising startup CEOs on strategy for innovation and disruption. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. We hope you enjoy.
Well, John, welcome to the Swell Pod and the Kiln Road Trip, which is happening this week. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Excellent. John, can you just give us a Reader's Digest version of what you do and who you are?
Sure. So I went to college here at BYU, and then I left to go to school at the University of Oxford. Fell in love with startups there.
Really?
Odd place. Moved back to Silicon Valley and did startups there for years. And so I found my niche in actually strategy for startups. So I worked with a lot of accelerators, started a couple of my own, did international consulting, built a my own platform to help large companies find and understand new technologies. Did that for years, traveled all over the world doing that. Exited that during COVID, built and sold a COVID data startup.
Really?
During that time, yeah. Just trying to help people understand and avoid infections and those kinds of things with data. Sold that IP and then moved back to Utah, and really interested in trying to find my niche here in the Utah startup community and go from there. And
what was it that made you fall in love with startups and kind of back in that moment when you were, you said at Oxford?
Oxford, England?
Oxford, England, yeah. There you go. So part of it was when I was studying economics here, a lot of the models are based on this idea that innovators just innovate. That's actually a lot of the models for growth that we all use for GDP and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, I don't think that's automatic. And so there's got to be a better way to help that happen. And this is 2010 or so, something like that. And so when I went to school up there, you know, Facebook is taking off, Google is taking off, you know, and so on. And so, and then a lot of the thought leadership, Y Combinator, you know, Steve Blank, those guys, were really putting an intellectual framework around entrepreneurship, which we're still using today, right? Clayton Christensen, those guys. And so I got to meet Clayton Christensen, have conversations with him. I got to meet Biz Stone, who created Twitter, you know, those guys out there, Reid Hoffman. Got to have personal conversations with them.
Right.
And I'm like, this is way more fun than spreadsheets.
Yeah.
And so previously I was a broker at Fidelity. And so my natural extension was like, oh, I should be a VC or something like that. Yeah. But interviewing VCs and being out there, I'm like, I don't feel comfortable being a kingmaker, having never gotten my fingers dirty. You know what I mean? Like how can I possibly evaluate an early stage startup when I've never done it? Right. And so I did it and just fell in love with the product creation process more than the evaluation. But over some time, I found my niche was really strategy and, you know, create a lot of value that way.
Yeah. I like how you kind of, I guess, it seems like you challenged yourself. It's like, I have to get down here, really put myself to the test and really understand what's going on. I like that.
Yeah, I gave up job offers at like London Stock Exchange, that kind of stuff, to come out and, you know, grind it out in Silicon Valley. I mean, stayed at my grandparents' house. I couldn't make any money because my skill set was not aligned. Yeah. Right. And so I just, for 2 years, I think I just wandered around going to every single meetup I could and won a couple of competitions, but eventually found my niche. Yeah.
So what? It was a gut feel or just like, have you always known, okay, I know what I don't want. And I got this intuition that I should go toward this thing that I don't even have a job for.
I mean, there's some courage there, but I had worked 3 years at Fidelity, like I mentioned, here in Salt Lake, and they were a fantastic company. Like, if you would have told me, like, you're going to work the rest of your life here, I'm like, oh, that's not a bad life, you know? But at the end of the day, I was like, is that really what I want to do with my life, though? Is that the great story I want to tell when I'm 95 years old, talking to my kids? You know, I'm like, there's something out there more than that. So it's
maybe you sensed it.
Yeah, probably personality. And it's leap of faith. Like, I'm just going to bet on myself and knowing that, like, eyes wide open, like one out of six, if you're good at it, you're going to, or if your companies are going to be successful. So my bet there was just stick with it until you find something.
Yeah.
Keep skilling up and figure out a way to survive in the meantime.
Interesting.
So right now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like you're looking for something right now. Is that correct? Or?
A little bit. I mean, so I sold my startup. I made the mistake of jumping right in and helping a friend who was scaling up his startup. Mm-hmm. So he had a think tank. It's a friend of mine from Palo Alto, and he had been doing research for 8 years on things like adaptability, other things, and he was trying to monetize that. So that stage was perfect, and so I was just calling him for advice, and he found out what I was doing, that I was available, and hired me within a month or two of leaving, you know, my other company. And that was a mistake because immediately within 2 months, they landed a $10 million contract with a Fortune 50 size company, and there were five people.
Yeah.
And like, we need you. I'm like, okay, sure, this is awesome. But I was so burned out. Mm. And so I just took a year off, actually. So I was just like, after 6 or 7 years of just pure startup grind, you're in every sales meeting, and then you got to do product, and then you got to build it, and then you got to, and I was doing it all. And so that was just exhausting. Because even when you're trying to take a vacation and you're doing a startup, you can't.
You're not taking a vacation.
Like, your head's not in it.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking about the next thing you got to do. And so I took some time off, and then maybe the last four or five months have been ramping it back up. Mm-hmm. So I've been taking consulting gigs and, you know, looking for my next thing.
Yeah.
But I'm focused on the Utah ecosystem. It's one of the reasons why I'm here at Kellen and so on.
What are you looking for specifically? Is there anything specific that you're looking for?
Well, my process to really understand what Utah is already and what they need will sort of manifest itself. And so right now, I still am doing consulting for these companies especially that are pivot sensitive. So anybody that needs that kind of help, I help with it. Right now, the same company that I was working for that I left, I, you know, went back part-time.
Yeah.
And so they're doing some global strategy, trying to figure out how to spend their money effectively, you know, the first $10 million or so.
Yeah.
So that's my niche. I'm looking at starting some programs as well.
Cool.
I've interviewed some VCs and find out, you know, what does the ecosystem need?
Yeah.
You mentioned an accelerator that's not so much revenue goals. You know, like, can we get a longer term accelerator? And that includes the founder of Kellen, who's a friend of mine from Oxford, actually.
Arian.
Yeah. Met him at school.
No way.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so chat with him a bit, but I'm still thinking it through and
trying
to find something that can stick.
We did our send off for this road trip here on last Thursday.
Yeah. Thursday night. And
Arian interviewed us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Big fan of Arian.
So we met him. We've chatted a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I might be starting something here.
That's cool. So when you talk about strategy, can you help me understand a little bit more about, like, what exactly are you helping these companies with from a strategic standpoint?
So one of the things I've doubled down on is adaptability. okay. my personal life, right?
Yeah.
You know, can I go from this to this effectively? Because that's the world.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I was brokered during the financial crisis.
Right.
And so that was chaotic, and I saw things were breaking, and of course, studying business at the time I did, at the school that I did, realized like the rate of change is increasing. You know, not just change is increasing, the rate of change is increasing.
Yeah,
so we need to be building that adaptability skill set. And startups are pretty good at that. But when you're a founder, usually it's something like I'm a great product person, or I'm passionate about a problem and I don't care about the tech, whatever solves it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that may be. But invariably you're wrong about 50% of it at least minimum, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's 10 things you have to do to survive and you're probably good at four of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So adaptability is key. And so usually strategically, I try to find the talents, what they're good at, leverage my background in economics to do the system thinking within a business.
Hmm.
So, and you know, there's actually a lot of game theory in it. Like here's what the long term run looks like, but as a startup, you're not there. So, you know, one manifestation, that's like an MVP. It's like, that's not really your finished product, but that's what you got to do to get there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that kind of thinking that goes into it. And ultimately where you want to end up and the path to get there.
Before we get into the rest of the episode, we want to thank the partners and sponsors who made the Kiln Road Trip possible. The Kiln Road Trip is brought to you by Kiln. Kiln is a boutique co-working and flex office community with 13 locations in 6 states across the West, dedicated to providing innovative workspaces that empower your team to thrive. Whether you're a solo visionary or an enterprise-level team of up to 100, Kiln transcends being merely a place to work. It's a hub for learning and connecting with like-minded professionals that will make you and your team love where you work.
And if you haven't stepped foot inside a kiln yet, you really need to. On this road trip, we visited every single location, and trust us when we say, once you see these beautifully designed spaces, meet the talented team, and connect with fellow members, you won't want to work anywhere else.
Locations include Utah, Colorado, Idaho, Oregon, California, and Arizona. And they're growing too, with multiple locations set to open in 2024.
Yeah, so be sure to check out the Kiln locations nearest you by booking a tour at kiln.com and answer SWELL in the question, how did you hear about us? Once you complete the tour, you'll be entered into a competition where you could win a 1-year membership, their club membership at Kiln.
Yep, you heard that. That's kiln.com, book a tour, and be sure to mention SWELL in the question, how did you hear about us?
The Kiln Road Trip is also brought to you by Motera Campervans, a luxury campervan rental company for iconic road trips. Their top-of-the-line vans are available at 7 locations located near America's best outdoor adventure destinations. They have consistently earned the highest customer ratings in the industry, making Motera Campervans your gateway to adventure without sacrificing on comfort or service.
That's true, and initially we wanted to take this journey in a 1960s VW bus, but thankfully we found Motera instead. With 3 van options, we took the Pop Top Classic, which sleeps 4 and is best for those who want to maximize floor space and storage. This was critical for us because it needed to sleep the entire crew, we needed space to edit, and we were traveling with large amounts of equipment, luggage, and, you know, other goodies that we picked up along the way.
And this van took us through all 3,580 miles of the trip, super comfortable and sweet to drive.
And actually, Motera offers fully planned itineraries if you'd rather leave the planning to someone else.
Visit gomotera.com/swell. That's gomotera.com/swell.
This episode is also brought to you by Taurus. Taurus is leading the charge in home energy storage. Taurus makes it easy to achieve energy independence and a greener tomorrow. The Taurus Station provides everything you need to generate clean power, efficiently store electricity, and easily manage your energy use.
And installing a Taurus Station offers plenty of benefits, including save money on your electricity bill.
Also, ensure energy security with backup power during outages.
Reduce carbon emissions with renewables.
You can also automate EV charging and HVAC systems with 100% renewables.
And enjoy unrivaled system monitoring and support.
If you like the sound of those benefits, get a quote to build your Taurus station in less than 30 seconds. Super easy at Taurus.co. That's Taurus.co. Now, let's get back to the episode.
You've mentioned manifestation a couple times.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm interested in your thoughts on that. Like, putting it out into the world and manifesting it, working your way towards it. Can you just explain more about what you mean?
It's a difficult thing to kind of pin down in just a 30 second.
Yeah.
But I'll do my best. I think the best framework for it is like optimism versus pessimism.
Okay.
And that impact.
Yeah.
When you're pessimistic, you think you're right more often, but what you're not seeing is all of the unknown unknowns that could have been right. Right. So there's this, one way I think about it is there's this global decision tree out there, right? And all the infinite possibilities. And there's a path out there that's optimal that you're just unaware of, right?
You have to be open to it.
Yeah. And so that's, in economics, call it imperfect information. And so the optimist on the other hand is often wrong on some errors, like they thought it would work out and it didn't, but they have more information because they actually went out and did it.
Yeah.
And so observation is always better than postulation. It's kind of the mantra there. So if you lean optimistic, but also have this grounding realism and the ability to change and to be pragmatic, those people just know more and they learn more and they learn faster. The pessimists will always have to be proven wrong and they don't start anything, right? And so manifestation is really trying to discover the optimal path. So you got to get out there and just do stuff. And it's an odd mix because you got to feel like you're right to be motivated, but then you got to be humble enough to change quickly. And, you know, that's difficult emotionally for some people until they get it right.
There's a very active component to this. Yeah. Cause I think some people can just misinterpret that for you just be passive and it will just appear for you, but it's very active optimism.
Yeah. Which is why you moved to Utah. Is that part of, or, you know, putting yourself out there and maybe even being on the podcast? I mean, it's about doing an action, acting, right?
Yeah. Getting out there. I mean, I've been in a basement for 6 years with a laptop.
I'm in the same position.
It's exhausting. And the market tells you what's right and wrong, not yourself. You have an idea. You come up with a hypothesis, if you can use that framework. But man, things happen so much more quickly when you're out there in the market. And my first entrepreneurial experience where I actually knew I could make it was I was overly conservative in it. My co-founder was like, no, you're fine. And so we went to a Japanese tech scout in Silicon Valley and he just listened to his problems. I'm like, oh, I can solve that. That's easy. And he's like, well, how much? And I'm like, that's a good question. So I'm thinking, you know, 100 hour weeks, something like that. My co-founder was like, no, we're going to charge $45,000. And he's like, how long will this take you? I was like, oh, I don't know, 2 weeks. I'm like, we're going to tell him 2 months. Right. And then we're going to give you that whole paycheck. And now you have a salary for the year and you're going to keep working on this. And so having that business partner who had, he was in his early 60s, late 50s, been an executive, Disney and all over the world. So it kind of pulled me out of that. And so that market told me what I was worth. And entrepreneurship, nobody cares how hard you work. It's just what the results are, which is what I love about it. So I turned 100 hours weeks into 4 hour work weeks and then continued to expand my portfolio. But
nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Last question?
Yeah. So one of the questions we ask everybody that comes on the podcast is what does it take to take an idea and create a movement or create something that's never existed before? I'm actually super interested to hear what your thoughts are on that.
What's it take to create a movement?
Yeah. Or take something, take an idea and create something that's never existed before.
Well, I think fundamentally you have to understand your community and what they need. And so I believe you have to be a people person in one way or another to those insights. Now, ultimately, I believe we talked about this before, but it's about getting it out there, learning about it. Treat your business like a scientific experiment, if you want to use that framework.
Yeah.
And then do it quickly, be humble, and be resilient, I would say, because things you know are right are just wrong.
Right?
And things you're not sure are right are the best thing that ever happened to you, right? And so you just don't know. You've got to get out there and test it, be resilient. And sometimes it's timing. It's not even the thing. It's the right thing at the wrong time.
Any last thoughts or anything that you'd like to put out there? Anything you want to promote? Anything that you want to
Promotion-wise, I'm available. I'm happy to help. Like I said, really right now, I'm studying the Utah ecosystem and trying to find out what's needed. So I'd love to hear about, you know, what's missing and what could be useful. And I'm sure I'll build something around that.
Yeah. Great. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah. Swell Pod. Thanks for having me.
Being really one of the 100. We've got a t-shirt for you and we'll grab a photo.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Kiln Road Trip. Be sure to follow along on the rest of the journey. And you can do that in two ways. One, subscribe to the podcast, whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or maybe even watching on YouTube. And follow along on all of our social media platforms, whether you're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or TikTok, @TheSwellPod. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next episode.